The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
That's why I see him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot No Shot is brought to you by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Bet the Breeders' Cup. Not this weekend, the following weekend. I'll be locked in on the horses for Friday and Saturday. Over $28 million in prizes. One of my favorite weekends of the year. If you like playing the ponies, use that Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Use their sports. Good morning, Secretariat. How are you, darling? And if you like to bet sports, you can use the PointsBet app. We say good morning to Snorling. Hello,
Snor. Good morning, Courtney. Great to have you in. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Talking all things Bears. Cappy.
What's up, dog?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Ready to rock and roll. Having fun with Courtney. I hope Hoodie's enjoying the Indiana Dunes. Wouldn't be my spot to get away, but it is his.
There's no shot. If we're starting shot or no shot. No shot. Hoodie is at the Indiana Dunes.
He is.
No shot. He told Merkin he was going to New Hampshire. He's all over the place.
He would never tell Merkin the truth.
Where in the world is Jonathan Hood?
He is at the Indiana Dunes. I'm telling you. There's a bed and breakfast. It's his anniversary next week. That's where they were at. They did a tent for one night. It's some kind of like romantic tent experience.
A tent?
Yes. It's a glamping.
No shot. It's a glamping thing.
No shot.
Yes.
Glamping in the end of October?
Yeah.
In the Indiana Dunes. It's, I mean, that's lake. That's like right next to the lake. So
yes.
It's going to be cold.
But they're heated.
Okay. I mean, how warm are we talking?
I don't know.
This seems like a summer trip to me.
His anniversary is next week. So that was what it was all about.
Okay.
I think Peacock's a big camper. So anyway. Snor, what do you got?
Tevin Jenkins has been a surprising standout for the Bears offensive line after moving over to the guard position. He's been all over Twitter for the headhunting he did on the All-22 against the Patriots, including shoving Matthew Judon to the ground after Judon left his feet to tip a pass. He's been excellent this year in run plays, and I believe I saw this morning, he has not allowed a sack or hit on Justin Fields yet this season. So shot or no shot. Tevin Jenkins, to our surprise, is a premier blocker at guard.
Premier blocker. What is premier?
That's up to you.
I mean, I think he's a very solid blocker in a new position. I think he has to still get tougher. He took himself out with a stinger, I heard, a couple weeks back. You got to play through some of that stuff, and that comes with time and understanding your body in the professional game. It's not college. Is he their best, most talented talent there? Yes, no doubt about it.
I'll go ahead and say shot on that. And I know that you said, Shay, that I can give my own definition of premier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Like, this could not have worked out any better for the Chicago Bears than it has right now. This guy was in exile, more or less, going into training camp or wondering, is he going to get traded? Is he not? I mean, Robert Quinn's not the only one who was on the trading block throughout the offseason. The Tevin Jenkins situation was very real. And teams were calling to inquire about, hey, what's the situation here with the Chicago Bears and somebody who was their left tackle or supposed to be their franchise left tackle for this move to happen and for it to pan out for the way that he's playing. I mean, he doesn't have a PFF grade in the last 3 weeks. Lower than 52.8, which I know people are going to say, yeah, well, that's not a great grade, but that's an above average pass blocking grade. Most guards hover around that.
The other guard had
league.
A 12.8 or 12.9,
yeah.
Lucas Patrick,
Lucas Patrick was not great at left guard, and I think that they figured out, wow, Tevin, like, what they were doing was so unorthodox. Teams, like, usually you get your position and you win your position. You don't have a rotation going for 4 weeks at that point. That was bizarre that they were continuing to do that at right guard. Tevin Jenkins won that job, and I think that he was a better right guard than Lucas Patrick. So, you know, for where he's at right now, I will go ahead and say he is the premier premier block. What was the question? What was
a premier blocker?
Yes, he's a premier blocker at guard.
I just pulled up the PFF grades. Tevin Jenkins grades out as the eighth best offensive guard in the NFL.
It's top 10. Top 10's premier.
Premier. I will agree. That is premier. If that holds. Again, I can't call him premier till he proves it for a full season, plays through some injuries. But, yes, if he holds there, I will be more than happy to co-sign Courtney.
All right. It's safe to say the Bears did Robert Quinn a favor by sending him to Philadelphia, where the Eagles are 6-0 and currently have the second-best odds to win the Super Bowl. So my question, shot or no shot, Robert Quinn will get a Super Bowl ring this year.
That is a shot. This team is undefeated for a reason. Now, can Jalen Hurts keep playing at this level? I don't know. He certainly looks good. Can they stay healthy? That's another question. But that defense with Fletcher Cox and all these other dudes, really good.
I'm going to say no shot. He will compete for a Super Bowl. But my pick preseason, which I'm sticking with, is Buffalo.
Yeah, that's
They're
who
gonna
I'm
win.
On.
So. But no, I mean, I'd love to. I think that that's, you sent him to a perfect place where, you know, I was looking at some of the numbers about who else they have there. You mentioned Fletcher Cox. You got to also think, too, you know, there's Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, all these guys that are part of the group that he's going to now be teammates with. That's like, he's in a great situation to be able to unlock that potential. Can he get back to 18 and a half sacks? Probably not. Those numbers always dip. I mean, I feel like those sack numbers, there's always regression there, but I'd love to see him have a resurgence here the last, you know, 10 games of the season. I think the Eagles already had their bye, so they've got 10 more games to figure this thing out and to continue, see if they can continue to ride this win streak. And he's going to be a big part of that on the defensive side. You hope for him that he can get double-digit sack numbers because he is that good. He deserves a Pro Bowl, you know, for everything that he's done the last couple years. Three-time Pro Bowler, I want to see that become four, and I want to see him get double-digit sacks.
Yeah, to wake up this morning and say to your wife, hey, hon, my flight's in 2 hours. I'm going to Philly. I'll call you when I get situated. You know, get the kids off to school, and then let's talk. They'll have to finish the school year. We're going to be a pup. Like, that throws your life into turmoil.
Sure. Yes, he just had a baby a couple months ago, too.
Right.
So
you're making stupid money. I get all of it. There's still the human side of it. But I think when he gets settled and he's living in a hotel suite and he looks around at all the talent, and then he goes, wow, I got a chance to do something I've never done. That's win a ring. And then they can deal. What are we talking here? The rest of October, November, December, January, and the first part of February. And then all of a sudden, you come back to Chicago. You got your house here or wherever you're going to winter in the off season, and you go, we just won the Super Bowl. And I got another year of making big money. And then we can decide what we want to do with our lives. I got two more years on my deal. So good for him. Hey, Snork, go ahead.
All right, I want to ask about the Chicago Blackhawks, who've won four straight games. They sit in the standings at a very surprising 4-2, and their last win was against an extremely good Florida Panthers team. They won that 4-2 and held
a 3. They were the President's Cup winner last year.
Yeah, and the Blackhawks held a 3-0 lead in the final period. They sealed it, a 4-2 victory on a goal from Jonathan Toews. They will play Edmonton tonight, but my question, shot or no shot, the Blackhawks are actually good.
That's no shot. That is no shot. They don't have much talent. Yes, they won four games in a row. They get Edmonton tonight. So I'm going to go home, have a little dinner, and watch. I love watching hockey. Mm-hmm. Watch that game. No. Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews won't be here after the trade deadline. This is not a talent-filled team. No shot. They're good.
I'm probably not the most qualified to be talking about early season NHL, but from what I've heard, aren't they a really well-coached team?
Luke Richardson.
Aren't people buying into that?
Highly regarded in the league. Now, this is his first opportunity as a head man, mm-hmm. I believe. They're playing hard for this guy.
The Florida win, and I'd heard this in passing the other night, like that's supposed to be the one that shocked people the most.
It did.
Of how talented they are. And didn't
My
they do it at
home? My betting account was shocked as well. Yes.
I'll say no shot. I'll agree with Cap on that one.
Yeah, they're not that good. No.
They're a rebuilding team, right?
They're rebuilding, and they have said, we are rebuilding. So, but that's the first take generation right in there in the Tigers hat. His name is Shane Norling. We call him Snorling.
Courtney, yes. You're familiar with First Take.
Am I
really that similar to First Take?
Yes. Yes.
Are we just talking prisoner of the moment sort of hot takes, or?
I don't think I do that. I'm just asking the questions.
Let me just put it to you this way. If the Hawks announced right now, hey, Johnny Jones is being recalled from Rockford, where he has one goal, one assist, 2 points. He struggled, but he gives us some depth at the center position. And tonight he scores 6 goals. That guy tomorrow morning, Johnny Jones is the next Wayne Gretzky. That's exactly who he is.
No, because I wouldn't watch the hockey game.
My God.
So I wouldn't do that tomorrow morning.
Wow. Go ahead.
All right. Steph Curry blamed Kevin Harlan for his first missed free throw of the season last night. Listen to this.
Steph Curry is at the line. He has not missed this year.
Kevin.
Why?
Kevin,
why? So why? He was 22.
That is you, Kevin.
I am so sorry. He was 22 of 22. I'm not a dealer in superstition.
Yep. Look at Steph. Look at Steph. Look at Steph.
Now called on Klay Thompson.
How did Stephen Curry hear you over here?
It was down, and then it came out.
He looked over. He knew. He knew what we were saying.
I feel so bad.
Steph missed the free throw. It was in and out. He pointed right at Kevin Harlan after the free throw missed. So my question, shot or no shot, the announcer jinx is real.
Yes, because I've been victimized doing a college game where I was critical of some move by a kid. Not like ripping the kid as a person. I just said he shouldn't be taking that shot. And the next time down, he came down and took a three again, mm-hmm. drilled it, ran right by and said, I'm way better than you give me credit for. I'm here. They hear it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely hear it all.
And that's the thing. Like, you don't think, because there is so much going on around the stadium, that they can hear you, but you are so close to the floor
yes.
that he absolutely heard that. Yes, it's real, so I will give a shot to that. And it actually made me think, because we're talking to Cairo Santos yesterday. He's 17 of 17 on field goals dating back to the 2021 season. Does the NFC special teams player of the week, is there a curse associated with that? Like, if he misses one, are we going to go back to the honor that he just got and say that was the what did it? I don't know. That just made me think about him. He's been automatic, and I think that has been an underrated element when there have been special teams issues for the Bears, especially with muff punts and being able to field punts, of how good Cairo Santos has been. Did that award just jinx him potentially?
Yeah, it gets in your mind. Snore, you got one more?
I do have one more. It actually relates to what I was hoping we get into next segment as well. Russell Wilson, Jake, are you ready with the audio on this? Russell Wilson spent his 8-hour flight to London in a very interesting way. Listen to this.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, probably eight hours flight here. That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film. Watching all the cut-ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last 2 hours, the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and then I watched the film the rest. So,
shot or no shot, Russell Wilson is the lamest person in sports.
That's a shot. That's a shot. I talked to somebody who played sports at Wisconsin. He's a Badger. And he said they had an event for all the varsity athletes. And Russ had just transferred there from North Carolina State. And he said it wasn't 3 minutes. And they had multiple athletes going, who is this D-bag? Couldn't stand him. And they said, and nothing ever changed their opinion. They did not like the guy.
Yeah, I'm banking that one in off the backboard. Yeah. There's not a cornier athlete currently playing, or maybe even a former athlete. He's just the worst. I can't listen to 4 hours on the airplane, up and down the aisle. Can people even get by with the drink cart to go, like, serve your teammates? Oh,
Excuse me, sir.
Russell's doing his workout right now. He cannot be bothered as he's doing high knees down the aisle.
What a
miss me with that.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Take that. We'll get into some of that. And I also want to tell you what Keanu Reeves did, which I thought was freaking amazing. Keanu Reeves, awesome. We'll be right back.
Don't Miss the conversation?
Cap and J-Hood?
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin's in for Hoodie, who's on vacation. Shay's the executive producer. Jake can't too before he boards the jet to go to Dallas for a station event down there. Is at the controls. I'm David Kaplan. We'll get to Russell Wilson in a second. Keanu Reeves is filming in the UK. He's at the hotel bar where he's staying. And this couple's having a drink. They start chatting him up. And he's supposed to be the best guy in the world. Just, he's real.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what are y'all doing here? We're getting married in like 3 days at that hotel. And they said, would you come to our wedding? And he chuckled, yeah, I'll do my best. I'll try to get there. He showed. Put a coat on. He had a t-shirt and like jeans with a sport coat. Showed, took pictures with the groom, the bride, and like their 4-year-old daughter, took another one with the bride. Like, is that dude? Mike North retweets it, our guy, and said, that's how the dude was with me. I'll try to make it to your studios on Belmont when Mike was on the air on another station. Showed up the next morning. Like, that doesn't happen. That is really cool. I love Keanu Reeves, Speed, The Replacements, all those great movies. I love that dude.
The photo of the family with him. So they've got their little girl, those two, you know, bride and groom in bride and groom attire. I'm so thrilled that he found a suit jacket to put on over this t-shirt. I mean, it's the most Keanu Reeves-esque look.
Correct.
True to himself. Beard. The beard, the hair. He looks not out of place whatsoever.
Right.
He totally fits in with that. I think it's great. Good for him.
That is absolutely awesome. 312-332-3776. So Russell Wilson, Shay was talking about what he did on the plane. He also had a sandwich from Subway. It lasted a week.
I don't remember what the sandwich was called. Did you see the commercial?
Danger Witch.
I never
saw. Danger Witch. So the commercial, he's talking about dangerous ways to eat the sandwich.
Yeah.
And like one of them was you eat it with the wrapper still on. He's just wearing this leather jacket and sunglasses and doing all these very odd ways to eat his Danger Witch at Subway. I believe they took it off the menu.
He's just not my cup of tea. Thank good. Pace begged them to trade Russ a year before the Broncos got him to the Bears and offered like 3 number 1s, a 2, and a player. And the Seahawks said no.
Bullet
dodge.
Can you
imagine that?
No.
Bullet dodge.
Can you imagine Bears Country, Let's Ride, or any of that other shtick in this
right.
market?
Bears Nation,
you
Let's
would
Ride.
Get eviscerated.
Oh, crushed in this
And
market.
Especially if you're losing in doing that.
And they would have had to give him the $250 million contract, and then we'd be with an albatross.
And they have him for a couple more years in Denver.
No, they just did an extension.
So that's the thing. Like this is not going away anytime soon.
Absolutely not. Brutal.
Imagine if that was here.
Oh my God, that would be absolutely awful.
But isn't that's the question? Is there anyone in sports lamer than Russell Wilson? This guy, I mean, he was on top of the world when he was in Seattle. Every year he was a darling MVP candidate. People thought he was the savior of that team. He was the only reason they were any good for so long. Now he leaves and they're better. And he's doing all this Broncos country, Let's Ride, high knees on the plane. Can you imagine you're on a team flight to London trying to get some shut-eye and your quarterback is high kneeing in the aisle?
I mean, that dude. I'm not a fan, but I never was. I'm not denigrating his abilities. He's had obviously great success, just not my cup of tea.
Can we blame the Malcolm Butler interception on his ways now?
on him. Like, that interception changed him after that.
You think it turned him corny, that interception? Yeah.
After that, he's just scarred from that interception.
Yeah, I just think he's turned so corporate. I mean, the relation, obviously, he's married to one of the most powerful singers in the world. I think you could probably put Ciara in that category. And maybe this is him trying to stay on that same sort of level. But it's just like, honestly, I think the scary part is this is who he is. This is his normal personality. It's not meant for public consumption at this rate.
That's why when someone who played at Wisconsin told me that, they didn't like him the moment they met him. Like, everybody up there went, okay, this dude. It's not a shock. He is that guy before he ever met Ciara.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't change him. He is that guy. So, thank goodness.
Now all of his teammates, they can't listen to Future in the locker room. Out of respect for him, because Future was with Ciara, they had a child together. Right. They gave that up for Russell Wilson, someone who, in order to get in touch with him, allegedly you have to go through some sort of handler to be able to get in touch with the quarterback if you play on his team. What does that tell you just about him and his leadership style to begin with? I just think he's fraudulent in so many different respects.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. Matt in Streamwood, Illinois. Matt, welcome in, Sparkles.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Courtney. Thanks for taking my phone call. Courtney, when you see in your practice, when you see the Bears practicing, what is Felix Jones not doing? Is he just not comprehending the offense right now because he's so far behind, missing the preseason and the first four games? Or is he just not? Is he just overwhelmed because he missed those punts? Like, I just don't understand, like, what are they doing? Like, he's only on 5 or 6 snaps per game. Is it just not comprehending?
Yeah, I think, Matt, to your point, the limited snap count that he's had, I think it's 28 since week 5 when he really started playing on offense, because he was active week 4, played on special teams, but didn't actually see any sort of action until that, you know, really the 9-yard jet sweep touchdown, which gives you hope. And you're like, yeah, this is how they can use him. They can, his speed to the edge, it's great, all that. And then he disappears. And then he doesn't record a single target this past week against the New England Patriots. It makes me think that the load of this offense is too much for him right now. Because if at this point you're not grasping route concepts, the entire route tree, not running crisp, precise routes, you're not going to get a lot of run. And We've talked about him kind of ad nauseum about, is he going to get his punt return job back? I think that that's probably out the window right now.
At least for this season.
For this season, yeah. But you're going to be 26 next year, and that's your second year in the NFL. Are we all of a sudden expecting the light to turn on?
Right.
You'd think, okay, they're lessening his load. He's not going to be a punt returner focused solely on offense. Yet the targets didn't come his way whatsoever. In New England.
No, he had 13 snaps, no targets.
And I mean, there is something to be said. They do ask the receivers to block here a lot. Equanimeous St. Brown does that a lot, and he does it well. It's half the reason that he got honorary captain for the Dallas game. Listen to Matt Eberflus. But the Velus thing is surprising. And I tend to think that at this point, and you can say, oh, well, he didn't have the whole preseason. You got to catch up. We're at week 8 right now. If you can't grasp it by now, how are you going to be able? Is more time really going to help you? You need to know it by now, because this receiver depth chart and this receiver room should not be hard to establish a role, no matter who you are. Because N'Keal Harry is still trying to catch up, considering he missed literally the entire offseason program with the ankle injury. Byron Pringle has just been designated for return from injured reserve. He has that 21-day window to activate him. The fact that Velus Jones hasn't been able to crack that depth chart and take on a massive role, which we expected when they took him with a third-round pick, that's concerning.
Yes, highly concerning. By the way, do you know that today, Shay, this has got to be the greatest day of the year for you, because today starts 27 straight days of some level of football on TV.
Max
27
starts
straight.
Next week.
You got the Ravens and the Bucks tonight in Tampa. You got college tomorrow and Saturday, NFL Sunday and Monday, Maction on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday night football, right back into the whole deal. 27 straight days of football. That's awesome.
And Heisman stuff's about to come out, what, next week? We're going to get our first poll?
Yes.
Too? I mean, when that to me is when like it really becomes real, when the college football stuff starts kicking off our football in the middle of the week. You know, we have that little gap between Monday night football and Thursday night football in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But November comes around, the Heisman rankings come out, the college football playoff initial rankings just start. Like, that is when it becomes serious. Like, and it's the best time of the year.
I'd say the best time of the year. It's a very good time of the year.
What's the best time of the year? March Madness?
March into the Masters and okay. The opening
totally
day
fair.
In the freaking Kentucky Derby and warm weather. Stop yourself.
27 straight time days of the year? Of football. Is that fair?
Doesn't matter. When I know what's coming, this is like hospice. It's going to be cold. It's going to be awful. It's going to be snowy, icy. In April, even if it's cold, I know what's around the corner. Freaking 90-degree weather. Bring it on. Or you could be like Abdallah. It's too warm. It's
no,
70.
That's me, too. 90 degrees is hell.
It's not hell. It's
65,
awesome.
That's perfect.
It's 5 degrees above your perfect temperature of 85.
I'll take it. Absolutely. Yeah. 60 degree. What can you do in 60? Can you lay out in 60? No.
I don't want to lay out anyway.
It's
I can go outside
golf.
And do anything I want to do. I can go get exercise outside. I can walk. I can go play basketball. 65 is great.
No, there's a chill in the air. That's
great. You can play baseball, fall baseball, 65 degrees. That's the best.
No, it sucks. It's tolerable. It sucks. When it's, oh man, you get in the car at like 5 a.m. to go to work. And it feels warm on your body. There's nothing better.
No,
man.
It's horrible. I totally disagree. When you open the door in summer at like, and I leave the house at like 4. When I open the door and it's already sticky and hot out, I don't even want to go outside.
Just wait. When Danny lets me buy a station down there, we have ESPN Fort Myers. Yes. You just wait. 312-332-3776. Deal Breakers. Next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Deal Breakers is a Shane Norling production. We hand it off to the executive producer of the Fun Fest here at Cap J Hood. Courtney Cronin's in for Hoodie, who's on vacation in the Indiana Dunes. And good morning, Snorbor.
Good morning. I want to start with something Chris Bleck posted on Twitter last week that I found grotesque. You are in a public bathroom, and the person in the stall next to you is barefoot with their foot crossing underneath their stall and into yours. What do you do?
Get out of the stall as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I saw that photo, and I saw the foot, and it was disgusting.
Well, first of all...
It was not a clean foot.
First of all, how tall is the person in there to be able to have their feet crossed and be all the way into the next stall? What is that?
Is that
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
They're sitting on the toilet with a wide base, Cap.
That's just so disgusting and odd. Yeah, I would absolutely...
Trying to find the photo of it so I can relive this horror
I've never
all
seen
over
it.
Again.
You get me the hell out of that bathroom as fast as possible.
Even, like, try to tickle them with a little toilet paper? It's just freak them out
don't,
a little bit?
Don't invite... anything like that. Well, like, leave.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there not like a U.S. senator or a politician in the Minneapolis airport who put his foot underneath the stall and that's supposedly some signal? Am I misremembering that?
Signal for what?
That you're trying to make the moves on the person next to you. I'm positive I remember this like on CNN.
We need to get Black on here to ask him. I'm looking at this photo right now. There's toilet paper next to the foot. Did he throw that down there to try to, like, mess with this guy?
See, that's what I would do, is I would take something on my person that I don't care that much about, and I would just throw it by their foot.
Well, if it's on your person, what would you have that you don't care about unless you're going to spit your gum
down
there?
I don't know if you got, like, a pen. If you got gum, that's even better. Try to spit it onto the foot.
What happens when you have to confront this person, when you inevitably try to book it out of the restroom? and he comes
following
you.
I would not throw anything. I would simply just...
I wouldn't want to be chased by a barefoot man in a bathroom.
I would just get up and get out. Out of here.
No, you needed to get some a water bottle and spray it. Prank him, then dip out quick. Do a little prank. Go on your flight. Have a laugh.
What if this guy rolls up sitting next to you on the plane? Because the thing about people on airplanes, at least in today's culture, is that a lot of people take their shoes off. So I don't think that barefoot bathroom man would be above just walking onto the airplane as is. And you have to sit next to that guy?
Yeah, I was right.
Larry Craig. Yeah,
Larry Craig of Idaho, U.S. Senator, was arrested for lewd conduct at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. There has been complaints about sexual activity in this specific men's restroom. And I guess he put his foot underneath the partition. That was like a signal he was interested.
Is that how that works?
I guess. That's what it says here.
Oh, my gosh.
Senator Larry Craig in the men's room. I just, to be kidding.
Can you imagine, like, the fungus you probably would come away with on your feet? Just like in an O'Hare airport bathroom. And, you know, I know that they have a great custodial staff there. I'm in those bathrooms a lot.
If you live in community dorms in college, you need to have something on your feet when you go into the bathroom. And you know everybody on that floor. The O'Hare bathroom?
I change in the airport a lot because a lot of times I'll fly in like an early morning flight and then go to a game, all things like that. And I have had to change in airport bathrooms. You always lay something down, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's a towel to stand on.
Correct.
You do not stand on the bare floor with your bare feet.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Gross. Not even with socks.
Disgusting.
The 5-second rule doesn't apply here?
Oh my goodness.
No.
Certainly not.
You get hepatitis from that.
No shot. Yeah, a bunch of people are tweeting at me. Yes, the senator story happened. Yes! I knew I remembered that. Shay.
All right, this is an interesting one. It's a real story that I found this morning, and I could not believe it. You and your spouse have a German heritage and are expecting a son. Your spouse is very big on family heritage and wants to name your son after their great-grandfather, who made enough money through his businesses that the family was able to immigrate to America. There is one problem. The great-grandfather's name is Adolf. Your spouse is steadfast that this would not be an issue, and they are 100% committed to naming your son Adolf. Would this be a marriage deal breaker for you?
Yes, there's zero. Well, first of all, I'm Jewish. There is zero chance that's going to happen. But whether I was or wasn't, my wife is not. No, we're not naming our child Adolf. Sorry.
Shay, do you know where this couple resides?
I don't. It didn't have the state or the place on it. All I have is the information. No, they're in America.
Okay, actually, so it's the United States?
It may have been Canada.
Okay, well, according to the internet, because the internet's never been wrong, the name Adolf is banned in Germany, Malaysia, Mexico, and New Zealand. It is not banned in the United States. I don't know about Canada, but there's other countries that have already said absolutely not, and they decide for you. Yes, that's a deal breaker.
Wow.
Wouldn't you wait? Rewind. So, is she already pregnant?
Yes, and then you know it's a boy.
Shouldn't they have had the name conversation if this was such a meaningful thing to her before she got pregnant?
Correct.
So they're already screwed because the baby's coming one way or the other.
Correct. Like, hey, honey, just letting you know, if we have a child, a son, I want to name that son this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And it's not like she can't be there because she is the one giving birth.
Correct.
I would assume there's some surrogate in the situation. So it's not like you can just like sign the birth certificate with the name that you choose instead of that one and like pull the wool over.
Correct.
Unfortunate situation. These are conversations that should happen at the very beginning stages.
That's a first date thing? On the first date? Hey,
if it is so meaningful to her,
Adolf. Yes.
If it is so meaningful that you name your son Adolf.
And not the first date, because there may not be date two. Once you start hanging out.
That'd be a great thing for this guy.
Yeah. Once you start hanging out.
Dodge that bullet early.
You know, a month and you go, you like, it's assumed you're hanging out every weekend and a lot. You want kids?
Yeah.
I want to name our son if we have one. That's not happening. Run for the hills, dude. Go ahead, Shay.
All right. You and your spouse have synergized your careers, meaning your money works for each other. Your spouse, however, tells you they are no longer romantically interested in you, but doesn't want to separate because of the strain it would put on your professional lives. They do say they want both of you to explore other options romantically. How would you react to this?
Say it one more time. I got to hear the exact machinations of this.
You and your spouse have synergized your careers, so your money works for each other. Your spouse tells you they no longer are romantically interested in you, but they don't want to separate because it would put too much strain on your professional lives. They do say they want both of you to explore other options romantically. How would you react to this?
Well, I guess if I agreed to it, then I'm cool with her seeing other people. And she's cool with me seeing other people. But if she suggests it and I'm not cool with it, no, that's a deal breaker. I can't go to work every day and go, hey, Courtney, how are you today? Who'd you date last night? Where were you? Why are you late? You spend the night somewhere? I couldn't do it.
If it worked for Frank and Claire Underwood on House of Cards, I guess it could work for other people.
I liked Claire Underwood.
I did too.
That's Robin Wright.
Yeah, she was a killer on that show. She was awesome.
Awesome.
Best character on that show.
She was.
But yeah, I mean, yes, probably a deal breaker.
Yes. I don't get the whole open marriage thing.
Different strokes for different folks, I guess, is probably PC way of saying that.
Yes. Shay.
Do we have time for one more, Kevin?
One more, real quick.
All right. Every time you have your father-in-law over for dinner, he makes crude sexual jokes about his wife and about your spouse, his child. And he makes these jokes in front of your children. You've made it clear to your spouse that you're very uncomfortable with the jokes, but they say it's fine. He's just from a different time. So how do you handle this?
Oh, I hate that. Just from a different time.
That doesn't, right.
That doesn't excuse poor behavior.
Right.
Gotta tell all my Southside relatives, just from a different time does not mean that we can have this sort of conversation at the dinner table.
Correct.
My goodness.
Guess
we're having solo family dinners for the holidays.
Right.
Then.
Occasionally we're having the father-in-law over. Occasionally. It would not be a deal breaker for me. Now, if it was slurs and all, different story. Crude joke. All right, great. Yeah. Steve's coming over tonight, and I got to deal with a night of just awful jokes. Whatever. If I really cared about my spouse, I would deal with it. Not a deal breaker.
So the crude jokes you're fine with, if you were like a virulent racist, you would be like, all right, we're out.
You're gone. Or I'm gone. One of the two. Figure it out. There was a free thought answer on Jeopardy. We played free thought with all of our fine listeners a couple weeks ago. Courtney is going to get to play that free thought game with us next.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Nerd who listens every day, always tweets at us, says, Courtney, Shay, Cap, Jake, part two, would you allow Adolf to be the child's middle name? The answer is no from my side.
Can't be anywhere near the name. Cannot be part of the name. Can't be a nickname. Can't be anything associated with this human being.
I almost think Adolf as the middle name is worse, because then if you tell people the full name, then they're like, oh.
Right. Like, can you imagine if your kid was, like, on the high school football team? Adolf! The coach couldn't even keep a straight face. Adolf, what are you doing jumping off sides? Adolf. No shot. Absolutely no shot. Can't happen. So take us through this free thought answer on Jeopardy. And by the way, Jim Miller from Hawthorne, who's on with Carmen Yurk and on Odds Couple, we've had him on here. He just texted, he's listening. The chart caller for the races at Hawthorne won on Jeopardy yesterday. His name's Rowan Ward. He's still alive, plays again today. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, this happened yesterday on Jeopardy. A couple weeks ago, it was National Free Thought Day. So we did this segment, and Cap, some of our free thoughts were things like, does a straw have one hole or two holes? Why do you drive on a parkway but park on a driveway?
Great.
Well, there was one I had that we never really got to, but it was on Jeopardy last night. So listen to this.
Plurals that don't end in S for four.
Moose. Jack.
What are meese?
No. No, Jack.
Why? Meese. Why is meese not the plural of moose?
Like, give me an example of what one would
if
be.
Geese is the plural of goose, why is meese not the plural
great
of moose?
Question.
So what is the plural of moose? Mooses?
Moose.
Ran into a pack of moose?
Yes, the plural of moose is moose. But if the plural of goose is geese, why is the plural of moose not meese? It's a free
That's
thought.
That's frustrating.
That's a great one. Does a straw have one hole or two?
It has two.
Really?
One end, yeah. It's not, if it only had one hole, how would the function work of a
okay,
straw?
Okay, so the hole at one end obviously then stops in the middle of the straw to create said hole on the other end, or why is it not just a continuation of the one hole?
There's a hole at one end and a hole at the bottom.
But if you dug a deep hole in the ground and it yes. was 20 feet down, and it led into a cave down at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
that would be one hole, just like a straw.
But there's an entry point and an exit point. It's two holes. Waddle and Sylvie talked about this, too.
No, it is not two holes, because if I start digging right outside
yeah,
here...
Yeah, but we're talking about a straw that you use, put a soft drink in, right? Like,
it's one long
this
hole.
This right here, this is a straw.
Yes.
This is one long that, hole?
One long hole.
There's
One tunnel, two holes. That's what the straw is. One tunnel and two holes.
I agree with that.
No, it's one hole.
Because there's an entry point and an exit point, or entry point down here and exit point up top. I don't think it's one hole. Unless you're saying the straw that gets folded this way starts out as a flat thing and then comes
okay,
in
so
this
I
way.
Okay, so I took the scissors and snipped off the first inch of that.
Yes.
Is that... That's one hole. Just... That's it.
I don't think that changes the fact that a straw has two holes, because you would still have the hole at the top, even if you cut it off half the way.
It still has two entry points. It's two holes.
No, it's one large entry point.
No, because you can't... If you enter from one side, you have to exit from the other. So it can't be... You can't. It's not like one
no,
place
I
where
enter
you enter
from
and
this
exit.
Side, and it's still the same hole. It just happens.
It's not the same hole. You can, if I walk through
the path, it's the same path. Can we find like a what do you call it? The middle part of the straw. What do you call that? Anybody know?
The middle.
The middle part of the straw. That's it's the same middle part, but there's like Shay was saying, it one entry point at the top of the straw. One at the bottom.
No, it's just one long hole.
If you enter a hallway and you exit a door on the other side of the hallway mm-hmm. that you entered from, you went through two doors.
Doesn't matter. It's still one hallway, one opening. That's it.
Okay, what if the straw is short? Like, it's a small straw, then is that one hole?
Yes.
It, then, like, the size of the straw depends if there's two holes, then.
No.
I mean, to me, I'm looking at the hole as this thing up top and that at the bottom. Like, the path that you get from point A to point B, to me, is not the hole. That's the shaft of the straw.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the hole, though. The hole is this circle right here and the one at the bottom.
How come when you open up an elevator door and look down, like in the movie Die Hard, it's an elevator shaft? They don't go two shafts in there. There's an entry up here and an entry at the bottom. No. It's one elevator shaft.
I don't think that applies to the straw logic, does it?
It's the same thing.
What do you guys think?
Same concept. Hold on. Joe's an engineer. Hey, Joe. What's up?
What's that? Hey, this is Joe, virtual analysis engineer. I think I can solve the whole situation regarding the whole thing.
Fire away.
All right. You got an XYZ coordinate system. You got your Y, which is up and down. So in theory, you've got one hole. So you're half correct, but the other part is correct as well, because on the Z-axis, you've got two holes, which is your perpendicular or parallel to each other in a two-dimensional format. So you've got an up and down on top of each other. So technically, you're all correct.
So we're both right.
I'm right.
So it's actually one hole or two, just on your perspective.
That's it.
Take that.
Wow.
There you go. So we're all right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you.
That went way over my head, but he said I was right, so fine
by me.
He
said we were all right.
No, he said I was right.
He never said the word Shay. Robert Quinn was traded yesterday. Your thoughts on how it affects the team, your opinion on the front office, and is anybody else next? You'll hear from him, Courtney's perspective. It's all in 2 minutes.